So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
Ho, ho, go. We're going to preview the Christmas games in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Monday lunchtime on December 23rd, but because of the very unique midweek Wednesday nature of two NFL games, obviously by now you know where they are available. They don't pay me. Brandon Legal Group pays me. Pin Chasers pays me. Hooters pays me to do the podcast. So you don't have to. My thanks to Hooters especially for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Of course, Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers are there for me in various capacities on other platforms with other podcasts, my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, etc. So Christmas is coming. The four teams playing on Christmas were isolated to play this past Saturday against one another. It's kind of like a round robin to give them an extra day to prepare. The thinking was, well, if we have teams play on Sunday and then on Thursday, the gap is the same. If we're going to play games on Wednesday on Christmas, let's just have those teams play on Saturday, but not each other. So I'm just going to review the two box scores from Texans-Chiefs and Steelers-Ravens and sort of look at what happened in those games as talking points to try to give you a second opinion for your championship week, if that is the case. I think most of you know the last couple of years I've been ending my leagues I commission in week 16. We do have one champion. We don't have two champions yet because of players going in the Monday night game between Green Bay and New Orleans. So I'll talk about my champions and praise them in the next podcast and again in our season ending podcast. So this is specifically, and I'll get this posted before Christmas as it relates to your best fantasy options for the two Christmas games. And then I will effort getting you the second podcast of your championship week, week 17 NFL, prior to the Thursday game. You will have a Thursday game, then you have three Saturday games, then a full slate of Sunday, and then another Monday night game. So Chiefs beat Texans 27-9. Again, Chiefs win essentially a one-possession game and don't score 30 points. You've probably seen by now somewhere on social media or a graphic on, who knows, CBS or somewhere. Maybe NBC had it since they had the Chiefs game on Saturday. There are four teams this year in the NFL that haven't reached 30 points in a game, or what their record is when they don't reach 30 points. And the Chiefs are 14-1, and the combination of the other three has produced about seven wins. It's pretty stunning. So the Chiefs getting it done with defense, ball possession, key plays late. Let's analyze the Chiefs first, because at this point, I don't think you can play Isaiah Pacheco. If you held on to him through his injury, you put him on IR, you kept him in a roster spot, or you did what I did in one league, I traded for him a couple, 2 to 3 weeks before I thought he'd be activated. It all worked out for me. I wanted Isaiah Pacheco for my fantasy playoffs, and he didn't give me anything. And he continues to have a very low floor, and there hasn't been any real highlights for Pacheco. There have been a couple of those signature runs in how they look, but they haven't been very lengthy. He was out carried 11-9 by Kareem Hunt. Even Xavier Worthy got three carries to go with Worthy's seven receptions for 65 yards and a touchdown. Hollywood Brown returns, might be someone that you snapped up on waivers just in case, or a plug and play, 5 for 45, no touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins, 4 for 37. Travis Kelce has really leveled off, 5 for 30. Kareem Hunt did catch 2 balls. So Kareem Hunt touched the ball 13 times for 79 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, Kareem Hunt might be. He's not a strong start, but he might be a lower – he might be kind of a flex play guy, or if you have nothing else, or if – you have Pacheco and you put him in for Hunt and you've been patient. This is championship week. Hunt over Pacheco. Hunt's not a must start. But really, unless you have no other quarterback or tight end options, I mean, that's where we're looking here. Because you don't feel good about getting double-digit points out of Worthy in any given week, Hollywood Brown, just second week back, DeAndre Hopkins, it's either been a really good game or very low. Noah Gray, after those two back-to-back games with 2 touchdowns each, very little. And Patrick Mahomes, 260 and a touchdown, albeit in a game he probably, most people, even Vegas, didn't think he'd be playing in, because if you remember, Vegas opened the spread as the Chiefs at home getting 2.5, and that quickly moved through the number. The Chiefs were laying 2.5, think it closed around 3, and the Chiefs win a one possession game. Because the Chiefs won and the Bills won, unless there's something I don't know, the Chiefs still need one more win to clinch the first round bye. So Mahomes should go in this game, and if the Chiefs win, they don't have to play him or anybody else they really don't want to play in week 18. Another reason why you're not playing fantasy football in week 18, because so much will be set and teams will be resting starters for parts or all of games in week 18. So that's how I see the Chiefs. From the Texans standpoint, obviously the very serious Tank Dell injury off a 6 for 98 and a touchdown game. That'll just raise the profile even more on Christmas Day. I know there's different matchups here. I'm just talking about what they just did. Nico Collins, 7 for 60. No touchdown, but still, that's good volume. He didn't hit his yardage, which I think was a little higher based on the over-unders. Dalton Schultz has been coming on. And if you're in an outdated mandatory tight end league, Dalton Schultz it has come on recently. As Joe Mixon's scores have gone down, Schultz's have gone up. It's not much, but if you're desperate for a tight end play in those outdated mandatory tight end leagues and you just pick and choose every week or every other week, Schultz has a little going for him. And you take Tank Dell's presence out of that passing game, and that probably raises Schultz's profile even more, because remember, they also lost Stephon Diggs at midseason. Mixon's off in recent weeks. This game, 15 touches, a respectable 71 yards, no touchdowns. I just want to look at his overall stats in recent weeks. So his last two, Miami was 12 carries for 23 yards. He had 5 receptions in that game. The previous game against Jacksonville, 20 carries for 101 and a touchdown, 4 receptions. Are you still starting Joe Mixon? The answer is probably, but he's leveled off significantly from the RB1 value he was giving you throughout much of the season. C.J. Stroud, 2 touchdowns, 1 to Tank Dell, 1 to Dalton Schultz, 2 picks, 244. At this point, if you've gone this far with C.J. Stroud, there's nothing new I can tell you about how he hasn't taken a step forward his second season. It seems he's taken a bit of a step back, but he's got the Texans in the playoffs. He hasn't helped you from a fantasy standpoint, and I don't imagine for some of you, you drafted him as high as maybe the third or fourth quarterback off the board. He hasn't given you that value. Let's go to the pull up the Steelers Ravens box to take a look at what happened in that game and as it relates to their sits and starts for Christmas Day. Russell Wilson, 217-2. So very similar to CJ Stroud numbers. Did what? Have the one pick six? Yeah, had the one pick six. Wilson's either a desperation streamer or in a two quarterback league, he is your QB2. Najee Harris, just 9 for 42, out touched by Jaylen Warren, 17. Yeah, because Harris didn't have a reception. 17-9. Najee out touched by Jaylen, 17 touches for 92 yards, no touchdowns. Let's see in recent weeks here. Just five touches the previous week against the Eagles, but 11 touches the previous week against the Browns. It gets your attention. It's one of those where if you don't have rock solid options, he's one of those guys, Jaylen Warren, that you're like, okay, maybe him, just to get me something. But the Najee drop off, let's see, 9 for 42 against the Ravens, 6 for 14, one reception against the Eagles, 16 for 53, and a touchdown against the Browns. It hasn't been great recently for Harris. The volume's off. You know, for a while there, I mean, just all season, starting with the opener, 20 carries, 17, 18, 13, 14, 14, 21, 19, 21, 18, 16, 16, 16. He had six receptions against the Bengals, so he touched the ball 22 times in that game. Touched the ball 22 times the first meeting against the Ravens. This time, 9. Previous week, 7. So Najee is trending in the wrong direction. And if you have better options than a Steeler running back, I would suggest looking into it. No real must-play wide receiver for the Steelers, considering you're going to keep checking status on Pickens, right? If you have him, knowing he and Russell Wilson had a good thing going. Tight end-wise, you don't really have a go-to choice here. So not much. You really don't want to have a Steeler going on Christmas if you don't need to play one. Other than Boswell. I will say that. I don't talk a lot about kickers here. But Boswell's been my man all year in every league I'm in. And I even joined a league mid-season and made him my kicker because he gets a lot of opportunities and he makes virtually all of them. And he kicks in his home stadium's one of the toughest places to kick. From the Ravens standpoint, big production from Lamar. Has been a top fantasy producer all year long. 207 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He had 22 yards rushing. Derrick Henry, 24 for 162, amazingly, and 2 for 27. So Derrick Henry touched the ball 26 times for 189 yards and amazingly didn't score a touchdown in a game the Ravens put up 34. Right? That's our only complaint on Derrick Henry is love the volume, love the production. How did he not score? The scores went on a pick six and receptions by Andrews, Likely, and Bateman. Zay Flowers, 5 for 100. He needed that. Hadn't been as much recently. You know, was a solid wide receiver too for most of the year, for much of the year. But in his last six, here's Flowers. Flowers has one TD his last six since a two touchdown game against Denver on November 3rd. In his last six games, 4 for 34, 2 for 39, 1 touchdown. 5 for 62, 3 for 74, 6 for 53, 5 for 100. That's not a lot to get excited about. So I don't know that Zay is a must start. I don't. Even off a good game, a 5 for 100, I don't know. I wouldn't feel great about it. It feels like more of a flex play than a wide receiver 2 at this point. Mark Andrews, yeah, in an outdated mandatory tight end league, sure, I get that. But the only guesswork here on the Ravens is Zay Flowers and whether you play him or not. Recently, even off the 100-yard game, it feels like more of a flex play than a wide receiver 2 to me. So now just a quick glance at the matchups and how, so are you playing Zay Flowers, you know, against the Texans defense? Or do you expect that the game script is going to be very heavy Derrick Henry as it was, against the Steelers? So, I mean, I get it. I would imagine most of you that have gone this far with Zay Flowers are going to play him. I won't question that, but I think based on the last 6 weeks, while the 100-yard game's a step in the right direction, you're hopeful, you're not counting on. One of my good friends who's won our foundation Jimmy McGinty Trophy twice is a geosciences professor. And he actually started playing fantasy football with us just based on numbers more than anything else. And he always reminds me that even if you have a guy or two just lay a complete egg, you know, like Cooper Kupp's done the last couple of weeks, it just takes one guy to go off to cover for all that and then some, right? One just big number. And we've had some big numbers in recent weeks. I don't think Zay is going to give you a big number. So if you don't feel good, you know he's going to be on the field. You know he's going to run routes. If you're like, I'm okay with it. I don't need a big number from Zay Flowers, but I don't have anyone that I feel has a higher floor than Flowers. I guess that's the way I'd approach it. Texans against Ravens. I mean, the Joe Mixon drop-off is a little concerning for Joe Mixon owners. Nico Collins feels like he's the best play there in that game. And leave that at that. So then the Chiefs match up against the Steelers. Let's see. It doesn't make me feel any better about Najee or Jaylen Warren. Again, check status on Pickens in terms of, does he even have a chance to play? I guess he does, that there's a chance Pickens would go. And if Pickens goes, then, yeah, I can understand you popping him in there, expecting wide receiver 2 production and or flex production. Nothing with the Steeler defense changes the way I think about any of the Chiefs. I think Hunt rates over Pacheco at this point, and wide receiver is very egalitarian, to borrow the Jay Croucher word from the Matthew Berry Fantasy Football Show and a great Twitter account to follow as well. If you have any individual questions with your team as it relates to the Christmas Day games, send them to me at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. We'll be back after Christmas with a separate podcast for hopefully the remainder of the schedule. Try to get it to you before the Thursday kickoff to talk about those two teams and their sits and starts. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Merry Christmas.